May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in the sight of God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we hear one of my favorite epistles, Put on the Armor of God. That is a very important image, the knight in shining armor. Be strong in the Lord and in his power. These verses are a battle cry to the Ephesians to put on the armor of God, that God will protect them. A battle cry makes sense as a metaphor because Paul was most likely in prison in Rome. Whenever Paul traveled in those days, he would see Roman soldiers ruling over occupied lands and people. Paul realized that the people he was writing to knew the struggles of the flesh and blood, government persecution, and natural or cosmic events. These are everyday problems in 60 AD. Paul wanted them to know more. He wanted them to be prepared for the evils of the world and in the world. This message is at the end of Paul's letter, and it contains two sections. The first section is a call to put on the armor of God. The second section calls for them to pray continually for others, not just for themselves. Some of the commentaries that I read in preparing for today's sermon stated that with today's political correctness, the reading may be too militaristic. This political correctness has called for the removal of this reading from the lectionary and for the removal of Onward Christian Soldiers from many hymnals. But if you look at the different parts of armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, these are all defensive objects, all designed to protect. Paul's message to the Ephesians and to all the people of that time was be prepared. Be prepared for the bad things that might happen in your life. Be prepared for the bad things that may happen in your world. He also asked for them to pray constantly for others and for Paul. Paul asked them to pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to know with boldness the mystery of the gospel, and that I may declare it boldly. This is a great prayer for any preacher. The people of 60 AD had a very different view of evil than we do today. Everything bad in their lives was due to Satan or evil. If it rained too much or if it rained too little, it was Satan's doing. If we won or lost a battle, the evil enemy caused it. Evil was everywhere and responsible for everything bad. That's where they got it wrong. Not every event was caused by evil. We do not think of evil that way. Evil is no longer considered the cause of all of our problems. In fact, if I went around blaming Satan for all of my misfortunes, people would think I was crazy. The term evil is used infrequently and limited to specific individual heinous acts. On the other term, is used so freely by some to mark whatever they disagree with as meaningless. As an example, you might hear one of today's political pundits say, so-and-so is evil, or a leader of another country say, call them the empire of evil. Today we attribute terrorism, war, poverty, natural disasters as things that cut us deeply and that we are vulnerable and helpless to prevent. We have become a nation of victims. We do not imagine that there is a little red man with a pitchfork, horns, and a tail hiding behind every tree to mess with our lives. But sometimes I feel like throwing up my hands into the air and saying, There's nothing I can do. I give up. There are too many bad things happening. I'm done. Today we attribute fear, anger, greed, jealousy, violence, disease, dishonesty, pride, ego, prejudice, and hate as just human nature, just the way it is. And that's where we have it wrong. These things are evil, man-made events that can crush you, but they are evil. Just as it was in 60 AD, sometimes bad things happen to good people. However, here is the good news for the Ephesians. God can protect them from evil of their time. They were protected and defended with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, and salvation. Now, Paul did mention one offensive weapon against the evils of that world, the sword of the Holy Spirit. Bad things may happen to you, but with these, you are protected. The funny thing about armor is that it will never stop or prevent an attack. It can only help you survive it. When I was a volunteer firefighter, we wore bunker gear, Nomex hoods, gloves, helmets, and air packs, all to protect ourselves. We would check our partner to make sure that he or she had their gear on right and that they were prepared. We drilled and we practiced firefighting and first aid skills so that when needed, they were ready. We all knew that it was a matter of if the disaster would happen, but it was a matter of when. These skills were not just to protect us, they were also to protect the victims. That is a good news from Paul was sent to us today. And this message is as much for me as it is for you. If I put on the belt of truth, evil and prejudice and dishonesty can never win. I will hold on to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. If I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the evil of pride, ego, greed, jealousy can never harm us when we choose to do what God says is right. If I have feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the evil that creates fear and confusion in our lives will be wiped away, knowing Jesus brings peace. If we put on the shield of faith, evil that tries to plant seeds of doubt in our hearts and in our minds, both these seeds of doubt can never take root if we have faith in Jesus. If we wear the helmet of salvation, even violence, death are beaten because Jesus comes from heaven to earth to save us from eternal death. The sword of the Spirit, the Bible, God's holy word, it is a powerful weapon against evil, or what I call the crazy tape that runs inside my head. No firefighter would ever get on a truck unless he or she were fully protected, so don't you go into your daily life unprotected. I mentioned the knight in shining armor and that it was a good image. But the more I think about it, my armor is not so shiny. In fact, there are a lot of dents in it, scorch marks, scratches, and mud. There are a few gaps in my armor that make me slightly vulnerable, but this armor has kept me alive to fight another day, and it will protect you as well. I would like to ask you to do two things this week. If there is someone in your life whose armor is weak, use your shield of faith to protect them. Do as Paul asked and pray not for yourselves, but pray for the world, for peace, for justice, and for good leadership. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the protection we need to make our journey through life safe. Help us to make sure we always put on the full armor you have provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.